Chapter 1. Solar Monitor Craft Implacable, Trans-Neptunian Region. The monitor craft closed swiftly on its target. She was called the Implacable, and she was a block of reactors, armor, and guns wearing the shape of a chisel's head. She was fast, and had enough firepower to hurt a ship many times her size. Her quarry was outmatched in all but speed. A scavenger ship, it was one of the small, fast craft that normally skulked in the dark corners of the system. Now it was in the open void, and its engines were flickering with failing power. Aboard the Implacable, auxiliaries ran for boarding craft and airlocks. Orders shook the air as helms locked into place on void suits, Volkites and Lazlocks activated with a static hum. The Implacable closed in, eating the distance as the scavenger craft's engines flickered and died. The scavenger offered no resistance as boarding gantries locked into place. Signals flickered back and forth between the ships. At last, the scavenger opened its airlock, and the auxiliaries stormed forwards from their boarding gantries. The first wave came fast, flowing out into the scavenger ship's cargo hold. Seven figures waited for them. Three humans, two clad in body gloves and breathing masks, one in the ragtag finery of a scavenger chieftain. Beside them, three space marines stood in deep blue. They were still, faces hidden behind their helms. With them was a single figure, also armored but somehow seeming greater than the rest. The auxiliaries slowed as they entered the space. The seven figures at the center of the room did not move. At last, an officer stepped forwards from the circle of soldiers. Like the rest, his void armor was marked with the horned skull of the Saturnine Rams, but the insignia on his shoulders marked him as a strategos, a senior line officer in the Solar Auxilia. He walked forwards, serpenta pistol drawn. He pushed up his visor, looked at the armored warriors, and then bowed.
"My lord," he said,
"I respond to the call of Hades." Alpharius nodded.
"Is everything progressing as needed?" Strategos Morhan.
"We are 3 hours out. We have the cargo, and our arrival is logged and cleared with First Sphere Command. Hydra Station has been expecting a replacement astropath for 4 weeks, and we made sure that the escort orders were issued to us, rather than us requesting the duty. They will let us in because they have asked us to be there."
"Hydra Station," said Ashul, a note of surprise and laughter in his voice. Every eye turned to him.
"It is the First Sphere of Defense's primary communications hub. Its eyes and its voice," rasped Calyx.
"I know. I just wondered if we were pushing a point." No one said anything. Ashul bowed his head.
"My apologies, Lord Alpharius." Alpharius gave no acknowledgement, but turned to the ragged figure of Sork.
"My thanks, Captain. You have your mission parameters. Carry them out. It'll have to look good. The Imperial Fists are no fools."
Sork bowed his head, face grim.
"I understand. It has been an honor, my lord."
"The greater honor is mine."
"The Hydra wakes," Alpharius said, and began to walk through the ranks of auxiliaries, his entourage and Strategos Morhan trailing him as he made for the docking gantries and the monitor craft.
"For the Emperor,"
called Sork as they left. Algelth Mine, Aerial Moon, Uranus Orbit. Loading gang boss Tau 4X56 frowned at the man who was shouting at him.
"What?"
he snarled. The man was one of his crew, a subloader called Unt 6X67. Stripped to the waist, Unt's exorig gleamed with oil sheen as he waved his servo claw next to his head and said something again. Tau couldn't hear him. Chains and cables were rattling through the pulleys just a meter behind him, and the clank of the loading gang going about its work stole what quiet was left. Unt waved and continued speaking.
"You dumb clank, I can't hear you!"
shouted Tau. Unt shook his head. Tau stomped over to Unt, gears and pistons doing what his wasted frame couldn't. He had been on aerial for a decade since his indent, and those years had a cost, a big cost. The Algelth was the oldest mine on aerial, bored into the moon's flesh over thousands of years. Its central pit was tiered and cut down into the dark. Sub-passages snaked off it, and its furthest reaches were so remote that some had not been worked for centuries. Capped by a scab of armored plasteel 10 kilometers wide, it was home to hundreds of thousands. It never slept. The ton upon ton of rock, crystal, and ore that it sent to Mars and the Jovian orbital docks equaled only by the number of workers it ate. 10 years was a long time in the low gravity and cacophony. Unt was newer, barely a few months fresh from some Terran sump hive. He still had the muscle mass that his pre-indent life had given him. He also still had better hearing than the rest of Tau's gang.
"What is it?"
shouted Tau, his face so close to Unt that their cheeks were almost touching.
"Owen!
What?
Showing!
You need to shout or I can't hear you, you dumb piece. Can you hear the shouting?"
bellowed Unt.
"Well, only yours."
Unt shook his head. Behind them, a pulley engine started to wind cable around its drum.
"I can hear shouting or singing."
Unt stuck his arm out, and the exo-rig clattered as it followed the motion.
"From down there!"
Tau frowned. Unt was pointing down at the dark beyond the edge of the loading gantry. Tau stepped closer to the edge. Looking over, he could see the lower gantries and crane rigs criss-crossing the gaping void. Pools of light dotted the gloom where work was done.
"I can't hear anything! Turn your rig off!"
shouted Unt. Tau hesitated, but something in Unt's manner was making him nervous. He shut his rig down. The drive engine went quiet. And suddenly, he was a frozen statue of struts and gears. He listened. The sound of the mine still washed over him, the vibration of hundreds of machines, the clatter of chains and the rumble of deep drills. Except a frown cut the dust-plastered skin of his face, and he heard it, low but rising like a pulse, like...
"Chanting," he said.
"What?"
shouted Unt.
"Well, it's not singing, it's chanting,"
shouted Tau. And now he could hear it even without trying. A light appeared in the dark at the bottom of the pit. He realized that the rest of his loading gang had stopped their work, looks of puzzlement on their faces. The indent penalties for loss of productivity crossed his mind, but his eyes were locked on the light beneath. The chanting rose louder and louder, rumbling like a rockfall, louder than the sound of the machinery. He could see figures on the lower gantries and walkways pause and look down into the dark.
"How far?" said Tau to himself.
"What?"
called Unt from beside him.
"It's what they're chanting! How far to Meg? Or something?"
Unt shook his head. The light was flowing up the tiered sides of the pit now, and he could see it did not have one source but many. Thousands of torches held in thousands of hands, oil flames shredding the dark. And the chanting rose and rose as the torchbearers flowed up and up, faster and faster. Cries began to ring out, beating against the rhythm of the chanting. Tau started his exo-rig and turned to see overseer troops in their vulcanized armor running to take up firing positions. Guns mounted on the gantries armed and swung their gaze downwards. There had been riots before, even attacks by bands of mutants, but this... Tau stomped back towards the pulley rigs. He knew what he had to do, and he didn't need one of the overseers to tell him.
"Shut down the hoists!"
he shouted, pointing at the machines spooling cable and chains. Down at the other end of those chains, containers of mined rock and crystal were rising from the depths in cages and cradles. He could hear the chant, its beat growing and growing. A warning light flicked amber on one of the machines. A hoist was almost at the top. His gang were looking at him, confusion and fear blinking from their wide eyes.
"Shut it down!"
Tau shouted again.
"Alpha to Omega!"
shouted Unt from beside him. The new ganger had followed Tau across the gantry. Tau turned and looked at Unt. Something was wrong. The ganger did not look confused. His dust-caked face seemed calm, almost serene.
"That's what they are chanting. Not how far to Meg, how far to Omega. beginning to end.
What are you saying?
Snarled Tao.
Get moving and shut down the hoist.
Unt stepped closer, and Tao noticed the rest of the gang frantically scrabbling at the pulley machines. The cable kept on spooling onto the drum. Out on one of the gantries across the pit, a squad of overseers opened up with tripod-mounted guns. Lines of stubber rounds breathed down into the dark. And now he could hear the words that Unt had spoken, boiling up louder than anything he had ever heard.
Alpha to Omega! Alpha to Omega! Alpha to Omega!
The light on the pulley machines flicked to green. The top of the hoist came level with the gantry. He saw the curve of power armor and the gleam of light on lacquered plate, on huge figures standing on the hoist platform. Glowing green eyes turned to look at him. He saw the dark shine of bolt guns, and an impossible name formed in his skull. Legiones Astartes. A clank of pistons came from close behind him, but he could not move. He looked down. Hydraulic fluid was glistening as it ran down his rig. Tao had a second to see Unt's calm face as the ganger gripped him, twisted, and flung him over the edge of the gantry. He fell, tumbling end over end past a street blur of gunfire and flame, the words rising to meet him.
Alpha to Omega! Alpha to Omega! Alpha to Omega!
Satellite Munitions Fortress, Cadel, Jupiter Close Orbit. Majos Sec Lo 65 emerged from his subroutine immersion as the warning signals chimed through his control room. A residual flesh instinct to blink became a clicking whir of focusing rings in his eyes. He listened to the warning chime, swallowing and digesting its tonal code. It was a sensor error alarm, rather than a full alert. Sec Lo 65 sighed a stream of imperfect code. The errors in the security system had been occurring for the last few days. Doors and sensors had been giving false returns or shutting down at random. There was a malady in the machine spirits, but no matter what he did, he had not been able to purge the affliction. That alone was vexing. That the error was occurring in the control system in one of Jupiter's major munitions magazines was a cause of greater disquiet. The Cadel Munitions Fortress was one of the primary reserves of fleet ordnance in the system. A lump of ultra-hard ore, it had taken the Mechanicum 2 decades to excavate, and another decade to graft the fortress structures into its insides. Nova shells, torpedo warheads, macro shells, propellant and explosive precursors all lay in vibration and temperature-controlled dark at the core of the rock. When a ship needed rearming, it would approach and hold anchor away from Cadel. Barges would then shuttle the munitions load out and return. Nothing, and no one, approached closer than several thousand kilometers. Anything that tried to come closer would be greeted by Cadel's formidable defenses. When dealing with enough destructive material to crack open a moon, there were no acceptable risks. Sec Lo 65 disengaged himself from his data cradle. Cables snapped free of his skull. The bionic tentacles that had taken the place of his legs flexed across the floor, and he glided towards the door. He was going to have to convene a data conclave of all his subordinates. The next days were going to be filled with code dissections and purifications. He reached the door and murmured his clearance command, and the layers of plasteel peeled back. He moved forwards and stopped, eyes spinning as they focused on the figures standing in the corridor.
Beta 42-8,
he queried in binaric, as the junior tech priest turned, red robes swirling about brass limbs.
I did not issue a summons. What is the reason for your...
His eyes whirred as they focused on the figure standing behind Beta 42-8. Pattern processors bonded to Seclo 65's brain outran his thoughts, flooding his awareness with details. Legiones Astartes, power armor of the third mark, with modifications for heat and energy baffling, deep indigo lacquer, micro-impacts consistent with abrasion by interstellar dust. Surprise followed all of these observations, and shock flooded the remainder of his biological components.
What? How?
He blurted in code.
Alpha to Omega,
replied Beta 42-8, as the Space Marine brought his weapon up and fired. A tiny scrap of brain material and intellect circuitry was still processing Major Seklo 65's last thought 10 minutes later, as his blood and machine oil was pooling on the control room's floor.
Omega. End. Terminus. Omega. End.
He had no senses left to see a lone shuttle break free of a launch bay and boost for the open void. 10 minutes after his last thought flickered to static and emptiness, the facility exploded with the shock and light of an entire void war compressed into a microsecond. The solar system. The warning message burned across the solar system. In the Whispering Tower in the City of Sight, the great choir of astropaths shouted out in 100 synchronized howls of imagination. The word raced out, traveling at the speed of thought. On hundreds of ships and orbital fortresses, astropaths woke from their trances and spoke their message. But even as the alarm flowed out, it found the solar system already in chaos. In the orbits of Mars, contradictory alerts and orders spread through Vox channels. Firing orders were given and countermanded. Auspex failed on 12 ships. A pair of monitor craft fired on each other, their sensors seeing enemy targets. Fire stained the dark above the red planet. In the sphere of Jupiter, the explosion of munitions fortress Cadel shone brighter than the sun. In the Sheol Forge fortress above Saturn, a technovirus spread through the controls of 1,000 automata. The robots tore apart the facility they guarded. On and on the confusion and strife spread. It spread in the riots that boiled up in the moon colonies of Neptune. It shone in the flames of 12 ships set ablaze as they mistook each other for enemies. It sang in signals and words and images that told of armies rising from the dark and fire falling from the skies. It spread in an eye blink, eating the truth and hiding lies in the smoke of its passing. And with it went the truth that gave every lie power, that the enemy had come at last to the gates of terror.